Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, April 25th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Member King.
Here.
Member Iman.
Here.
Member Brown.
Here.
Member DeGasis.
I'm here.
Member Clinton is absent. Member Whalen.
Here.
And Chair Branch.
Here. And I'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips and or raised hands online?
I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the public who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And there are no members of the public on the Zoom webinar at this time.
All righty, then we will go to our administrative agenda. Are there any adjustments to the agenda?
Good afternoon, Chair and members. No changes on the agenda.
Very good. Then with that, we will go to our first administrative item, which will be the minutes for December 13th. Could we get a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll so move.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
Member King.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Yes, approved.
Member Brown.
Aye.
Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
And Chair Branch.
I will abstain because I was absent from that meeting. And now we'll go to item A3, the review and approval for the Design Review Board minutes for February 14th.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jim. Discussion? All right, can we get a roll call, please?
Member King.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member Brown.
Aye.
Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
And Chair Branch.
I will abstain. I was not at that meeting as well. All right, that will take us to our conceptual preliminary final calendar. Item B1, could you read that into the record, please?
Item B1, 7368 Hollister Avenue, APN 073-020-001. Elwood Station signage with California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption utilizing Section 15311. Case numbers 23-0012-ZC/23-0010-DRB.
And has everybody visited the site? Jim?
One visitation, no ex parte.
Great.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. I visited the site virtually, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
And is the applicant here?
Yes.
Come on up. Have a seat, turn your mic on, and state your name for the record, and then try to talk us into stuff.
Eric Newman from Dave Science.
Chair Branch, you want to hear from staff first? Presentation from staff on this?
That's probably a good idea.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the board. The project before you is at 7368 Hollister Avenue. It is a refacing of an existing pole sign. Just wanted to call to your attention that pole signs are prohibited in the city. However, this pole sign was previously permitted in 1959. So according to our non-conforming ordinance, refacing of the sign is something that is allowed as long as they get DRB's approval. At this point, I'd like to turn it back to Chair Branch.
Okay. That sign's older than me. okay, continue.
So The new owners, they were under the impression that it was just grandfathered in, and this is the old sign?
Yes.
Wayside Village. I visited the site, and I got a letter from the tenant who lives where the sign's like essentially in his driveway. And he said he preferred it lit because it added some like level of comfort of security because there's no lighting in this area. Also, the client, the owners of the park, they wanted to retrofit LEDs into this sign because it has like the original lighting ballast.
Yeah.
So they wanted to get what's approved, but they actually want to add LED retrofit to it.
Okay. And that's it. The photo we're looking at, so it's going to be a white background with a small gold logo and looks like blue letters.
Yes, that's existing right now. I don't think those plans have LED on it.
No, I understand that. So in this version that you're presenting, can we presume that the white is translucent, so the white will be illuminated and the letters essentially block that?
Correct? Yes.
Okay. Okay. I have one quick question for staff, and that is the sign is, it's grandfathered in because it's an old pole sign. What about the lighting therein? Is the sign, does it currently light now?
I believe it does, but what is there now is Dibond, so it's not, the material isn't like translucent, what's there now. So like to put the LED light in there, we would actually reface it with acrylic.
Right, I understand. But it originally was a lit sign and has ballasts inside
yes.
of it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So?
Yes, as long as the use is not expanded. So if there was existing lighting and they're refacing, it's like for like, we consider it. I don't know that we have verification that that's the case. Christina, do you have any information on that?
Thank you, members of the board. Actually, this is my first that I've heard that they were proposing any lighting. The plans that were reviewed by staff are non-illuminated.
It says on the plans that it's non-illuminated. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, in a perfect world, you're proposing to internally illuminate the sign.
Yes.
With LED.
Yes.
And it'd be that whole face, the white being translucent, it would glow white at night.
Yes.
Okay.
So Chair Branch has a suggestion. Because the plans do not reflect lighting, or we didn't notice it for lighting, that if you can give direction as to how you feel about the design, and then we can look into whether the sign actually has existing lighting and they would have to come back. And you can continue this item to the next meeting, come back with the lighting issue.
Okay, very good. What I'd like to do, this is a pretty simple item that we're looking at here. So what I'd like to do is have the members combine questions and comments as we go, since it's pretty simple. Yeah. Cecilia?
Thank you. I think that considering it's going to be lighted, there's too much white in relationship to the letters. So you will see more of a white background because it's going to be translucent, right? Not opaque, mm-hmm. right? So the letters will, I think there needs to be more letters like the Wayside Village versus the background. That's personally what I think, because I think it's going to be too much of a white sign. It's going to be, I don't know how bright it's going to be. It's going to be LED lights. We don't know what what color temperature they're going to be or anything. So if they're really bright white, that might be really bright. And I'm just thinking that it might, because it's going to be lighted, that there might be a need to have a different kind of design whereby the letters, the background wouldn't be illuminated, but the back letters would be. There are some signs we've seen that are like that that are more effective, I think, because I think yours is going to be too much white. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Very good. Martha?
I'm going to voice an opinion of mine that isn't, I guess, supported by the ordinance, but I don't understand why a residential setting needs to have a pole sign. I agree with Member Brown that there's too much white area, and I think if the logo gets completely lost, it just looks like a circle. You kind of lose that sense of, you know, the reference to the historical railroad turnaround, and I, frankly, just against having a pole sign, you know, it's a thing of the past. I'm not sure why we need it in this case. So I would vote against it just on principle of too many pole signs in Goleta. I think the address is probably quite useful, and maybe if it were lower and the posts were cut down or something, it would be supportable, but I don't know. I don't understand why it has to be something visible almost from the freeway or from a great distance. So that's my take.
Chair Branch,
on
could
this.
I just add a comment for
sure.
Member DeGases? The ordinance allows existing nonconforming. If you were to, if you couldn't support the project, you would have to make a finding, like neighborhood compatibility. One of the findings that you can't make. Okay.
So my take on it is, again, the logo is too small to be recognized. The white background is too glaring, and the lettering should be dominant. Possibly that logo could be behind the lettering in a way that made it a little more graphically appealing.
Jonathan?
I agree with the excess white. I'm wondering if larger lettering, maybe the logo. I like the railroad allusion. I do notice there's a frame, green frame, around the numbers, and perhaps some sort of framing around the upper sign would reduce the amount of white as well. I spend a lot of time in that part of town, and it is dark, and it's nice to be able to clearly not only find that particular location, but just have a sense of how far up Hollister am I. It's really difficult finding addresses in a much of that stretch. So personally, I'm kind of glad to be able to see it clearly, having it up a little bit. Those are my thoughts.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair Brands. Just to clarify, you said there are two signs. There are actually four signs, are there not? Each one of the two is two-sided?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then in the lower number showing, the lower sign showing the street number, as Jonathan was mentioning, it has a box frame around it that doesn't appear to be changing in color. It's sort of a seafoam green. That's not changing.
I'm not exactly sure, because I think that photo is like a mock-up. Like, they just took, like, an old screenshot and then, like...
That's why I asked, because it doesn't appear on the graphic version, but it appears on the photo montage.
Mm.
So a question remains. And then a further question. The armature, are there any proposed upgrades or changes to the frame, the armature that's holding the two signs? Here it's a very dark gray or black.
We're not proposing it, no.
No changes there. I have no objection to the proposal as is. It would be nice if the frame were to be painted. I suppose I could live with the colored frame around the street number, but as a response to the others' questions about too much white. I mean, I'm understanding what they're saying. Perhaps the proponent could consider using a bold font rather than such a slender version to emphasize the letters. That's all I have. Thank you, Chair Branch.
Okay. Jim?
A lot of questions. I'll add a couple more. Generally speaking, my sense on this is that it lacks color, it lacks individuality, and it lacks, I think it really cuts down on the perception of somebody going by seeing the sign, because I think it's going to blend in with sky, with clouds, with it needs color, and it's lacking in color. And I generally think that a lot of the questions that have been raised here today need to be clarified, answered, and you need to come back again. But that's my opinion. Yes.
Cecilia, go ahead.
Dennis brought up an interesting question about the armature that holds it up. I'm not understanding why the sign is to the side of it. It's kind of funky how it's addressed. It's got this little box of metal above the sign. Can the sign be moved? Can that be reduced? Can that be eliminated so you see the sign and not this metal thing that holds it up?
Chair Branch, I'd like to respond to that.
Sure.
Structurally, it cannot be changed. Otherwise,
it loses the legal non-conforming status.
Exactly, yes.
So the signs couldn't even be moved over?
Nope.
It's only the reface that is allowed.
One question I had is the address portion where it says 7368, is that proposed to be lit as well? So both panels?
Yes.
Okay. My comments are that maybe it would be nice if instead of the background were white, I mean, maybe it could be, I don't know, a more dense white or a gray or something that tones it down a little bit. I mean, I'm not completely against the logo. I agree completely that the railroad reference gets lost. That logo is really small. And it'd be nice if the letters were bigger. And I liked Cecilia's suggestion of, you know, maybe the back is opaque and the letters are halo lit, so in the back, you know, backlit, something like that. But I think it needs reworking. And I would strongly encourage you to incorporate the color of the border on the lower letter into the design. I mean, the pole is gray, so that just kind of goes away. But I think the border of that address part it's kind of intrinsic to the thing. So, you know, consider painting that to match whatever design concept you guys have. Another concept would be to, you know, reverse it so your background is blue and the letters are illuminated, you know, or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's, I know that LEDs can be set at a wattage where it's not going to be a glow that illuminates the whole neighborhood. So I'm not completely against the white background, but it might be nice if it were less or had a controlled wattage to it. But I think the design in general could be, I don't know, worked with a little bit to make it a little bit more. I mean, if you're gonna have the railroad reference, I think that should be stronger. I think Martha's right; it just kind of looks like a circle. So, but yeah, when you come back, definitely have your lighting info in the packet so we can check that out. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Do we have any speakers, either in person or online, that want to comment?
I do not have any speaker slips, but if anybody wishes to speak on the Zoom webinar, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. And I do not see any hands raised.
Okay. When is our next meeting?
May 9th.
May 9th. Can you have a package together by May 9th?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll need it in before that, like a week before that, something
right.
like that.
Yeah, we can work with, I think if you the board is ready to continue to that date, that would be probably good. And
okay.
if for some reason they're not ready, then we can continue to the next meeting.
Okay, great. Someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to continue the item to the next available agenda, whenever that is. And conditions of approval would be to reduce the amount of white in the background area, perhaps by bolding the font or reversing the white and black areas, that the armature be painted and updated to match the new signage, and that the frame around the street number be an appropriate part of the colors that are used in the overall sign.
We need to address the electrical question?
No, that'll come back. Okay. That'll come back. That's part of why, that's the main reason why he has to come back. So, okay, can we get a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jim. Any discussion? All right, can we have a roll call, please?
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Member Iman?
Yes.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. All right, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Mr.
Thank you.
Newman.
All right. Now we will go to item B2. Could we read that into the record, please?
Item B2, 6021 Hollister Avenue, APN 073-080-028, Buena Tierra signage with California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption utilizing section 15311. Case numbers 23-0011-DRB. /23-0015-ZC.
And has everybody visited the site? Jim?
Yeah, two visitations, no ex parte.
Very good.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, but I know the site very well. No ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Let's see. Travis, are you here?
Present.
Okay. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch. Good afternoon, members of the board and Chair Branch. My name is Travis Lee, and I'm the planner for the Buena Tierra Science Project at 6021 Hollister. The applicant is requesting approval of two 18.5 square foot externally illuminated building mounted signs for the Buena Tierra Supportive Housing Project. The illumination for each sign would be provided by an aluminum channel recessed LED light bar.
Okay.
I turn it over to the applicant and the board. Thanks.
Okay, very good. State your name for the record and present what you got.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Rebecca Newman. I'm with Aris Studio Architects, and I'm present on behalf of ownership, which is the Santa Barbara County Housing Authority. I'm the applicant. The project before you is signage for our renovated housing project. For those, I'm sure we're all aware, but we are renovating the existing Super 8 motel on the corner of Hollister and Fairview for supportive housing. And as a part of the renovation, we are proposing to remove the existing Super 8 pole sign and replacing it with two building mounted signs. The signs themselves are 3 feet by 6 feet wide. They are opaque mounted. It's a brushed aluminum mounted to a board, a painted board with the signage. The letters, of course, are printed on the aluminum mounted to the sign, and then we've quite simply and elegantly tried to illuminate the signage
with a strip bar across the top.
Yes, it's an aluminum channel that we would then fix a LED light strip too.
Oh, got it. I see that. Mm-hmm.
I've got, would you like one of these? And I don't know if anyone else would like one.
I can see that. I've got it.
Okay, yes.
Up there.
Send it this way.
Okay, great. I think we should handle this one the same way we just did. We're combining questions and comments. It's pretty self-explanatory. Why don't we start the other way, Jim? Start with you.
You get to start. Pardon? Questions and comments.
Excuse me. I have no questions at this time. I do have a question. That sign that was up here when the picture was taken, that sign has been removed now. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
It's not coming back.
Yeah, okay.
Ever. Just so you know.
Didn't take it home and put it in the front yard?
No.
It's a
classic. It is.
No, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Dennis?
Yes, I have a question for staff, Mr. Lee. There are four additional logos on the sign. Is there a policy, and is that in compliance with our signage?
There is no policy. There's no overarching sign plan for this property, and it is compliant with Title 17.
Oh, I thought there might be some policy about having logos on the sign. I'm sure they benefit the proponent. I think they're rather distracting, though. But I also, Ms. Newman, I couldn't tell where the sign was, whether it's on the first floor balcony or the second floor balcony. It's not really clear.
Certainly. So thank you for the question. It is located on the second floor balcony. On both sides, right near the edge.
So approximately 12 to 15 feet off through the ground level.
Yes.
Something like that. That mm-hmm. clarifies yeah. it. Let's see. Other than that, I find it perfectly acceptable. Thank you.
Very good. Jonathan?
I like the project.
Thank you.
Okay, very good.
I think it looks good.
Thank you.
You know, I know, I've known Mr. Polansky for a long time, and I was hoping he was going to be here today so we could tell him what a great project he has, but maybe he's watching anyway. I'm not really understanding the sign. It's going to be, can you go back to, oh, it's the top, can you, that one, to the right. So it will stand apart from the wall by a certain number of inches, or it's flush with the wall?
It's a board that probably be about 3/4 inches to an inch thick, and it's mounted to the building face.
Okay.
And then we have a very,
quarter inch thick aluminum that yeah. usually gets mounted to that.
Okay.
So it's flush against the building.
Okay, basically. And so the LED light strip is then this, it's the black thing at the top.
Correct.
And yep. so the lights are at the bottom of that strip?
Correct. So the strip is like a channel?
Yes.
So it's mounted like this? Embedded
yes. No, I get that. And the lights are inside that?
Up inside
okay.
that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been familiar with that. So the letters themselves will be, the whole sign face will be illuminated.
Yes.
Okay.
But just from the downlight.
Yeah, from the top. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think my question pertains to the logos. If you are allowed the logos, I think that the tiniest one that we can barely see here, I think they need to be bigger so people can read them or see them, because it doesn't make any sense if this is going to be on the second floor, you're looking up. I'm not sure the purpose of them.
Certainly.
Can you explain to me the purpose of the logos?
Sure. So the Housing Authority, these projects, they're helping our folks that are in need of housing and supportive housing, and they have grants and state funds. And so the logos that we have there, we have an accessibility logo. Surf Development and Hasbarco are the developers, and we have the equal housing logo there. So I believe that it is a desired and required part of their signage, but I think we can certainly work on the size of the logos as well.
Well, my concern is the just in the printed document, the Surf Development just...
That piece is very tiny.
It's...
Yes.
Nobody would understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And are there letters attached to that underneath or anything?
There are letters beneath it, but I believe we can work with ownership to kind of optimize that, whether it's a matter of omitting the actual letters beneath the Surf part or enlarging it.
Did you look at other designs for these logos?
Yes. In fact, these logos came directly from ownership, and they have evolved throughout the years.
Right.
And these are the current versions of them, but we can certainly look back at different versions to see if there's something more suitable.
Well, I'm just, the only reason I'm asking is that it's kind of unusual to see logos. I realize this isn't a commercial sign, it's for residential. So it's kind of unusual to see these logos, maybe not so much the, whatever the one to the left is, and the one to the right, but to have the Surf Development one. So I'm just wondering, have you had other projects where you've had sort of this arrangement of logos?
Yes, all the properties.
And are they of this size?
Yes.
Well, I do think that if, that it would be important to make the Surf logo bigger, because if it's on the second floor, you won't be able to see. If the purpose of the sign is to have to present information, then they have to be able to read what it is. And even with the Housing Authority logo, you're not going to, I don't know, how big are those? How tall are those? I can't see on this.
7 inches.
Approximately
seven inches.
It inhabits a 7-inch field.
Okay. Well, I'm just, okay.
Chair Branch, can
yes.
I address the both Member Whalen and Member Brown's concerns about the logos? First of all, we don't have a specification for how many logos, but where it falls under is legibility. So
right.
I just want to read this to you. The size, length, and proportion of the elements of the sign's message, including logos, letters, icons, and other graphic images should be selected based on the average distance and average travel speed of the intended viewer. So I think that there is some, you know, for your review, that you can use that section to base your review on.
Okay. So an argument can be made to for you to study the bottom logos and
right.
and increase them as needed to make them more legible from distance.
And I guess another comment, excuse me for interrupting, but
certainly.
It just, you know, it's really a Housing Authority project, right? So they're really the prominent, I mean, they're the sponsor, they're the one who did all this. I'm just wondering if they shouldn't have a more prominent place on the signage. And the wheelchair and the housing and the Surf less, because it is, I mean, these are sort of adding to what the Housing Authority has done. So maybe it's just a matter of restudying the size of the logos versus the importance of the logos and how it's presented. Because if they're only 7 inches, I'm not sure. I mean, you're not going to be able to read them from Fairview, right? You won't be able to see them. They'll just, I don't think, you wouldn't be able to read the Housing Authority one from Fairview or the Surf, I don't think. So that would be my preference, is that you go back and study them and see if we can't do some arrangement that presents them in a little more order of their importance to the project, maybe.
Certainly.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And thank you very much for the feedback. I do just want to quickly point out this design has been a collaboration with ownership and with
right.
the Housing Authority.
No, right.
And so I'm happy to take feedback back to them. However, I do believe they are quite pleased with this arrangement of the logos and prominence and so forth.
Well, it just seems like it's a housing authority project. I know they're very proud of it, and we're all proud of them for the project.
Absolutely.
That it, to kind of have that more prominent, and the others, I don't know. Anyway, because there's no place on here that talks about, other than shows that this is a housing authority project, right? This is the only place that people know. I'm just, I don't know. What about in their other projects? Is their logo more prominent? I think it is. The one in Old Town, maybe not. I don't know.
I know that there is one other project that I'm personally responsible for in Guadalupe, which is an 80-apartment complex project. And I can go back and look at that. But all the logos, I do know that they all kind of occupy that same space.
Okay. Well, that would be perhaps we, anyway.
Maybe they could be on the left. We all start reading from the left, and so that would give them prominence.
Right, and maybe that would be right. You put the, anyway, I'll let the
just
designers.
Looking at those letters, and I'm guessing that the W is about 7 inches, and City of Goleta, those are probably more than 2 inches, and so proportionally equal housing authority, those look like about 1 inch height.
Yeah,
the letters, but that is a standardized logo that they use for equal housing authorities.
Okay, well, we'll just leave it at that.
Everywhere. I mean.
Okay.
Chair Branch, I'd like to suggest if the intent of the sign is to convey the name and address, I would think that the logos belong in some other place. They are not legible here, and to my mind, it's going to be difficult to make them legible when you're really... There could be a more appropriate place if there's an office or a central entry that these logos might be better served and displayed and reflect the intention than on this sign where they will not be legible or at all. So bear in mind what the point of the sign is, to identify the name and the address and not mess it up with the rest of the things. And perhaps there is a better location for the logos. That will be for your board to decide. But thank you for that consideration.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I have another comment I'd like to make.
Sure.
You know, I agree with that. And I, you know, from a logo perspective, I'd say just take the damn logos off, because nobody's going to read them. Nobody can understand what they are. Nobody knows why they're there. So, you know, put them somewhere where, you know, like it's been suggested, like it will make some sense. People can read them. People can understand what they represent. But that seems to me like an attempt to placate the people who put some money up behind this. And rather than just placate them, you know, feature them somewhere where they'll be recognized. But this is not going to happen here. Thank you.
Okay. Martha, any comments?
I have no further comments.
Okay. Anything else from you? Nope. Okay. I'll jump in. The logos on the bottom don't bother me a bit. I look at this as analogous to, let's say, a site construction sign. So you've got the main purpose is the name and the address. Then you've got, you know, you've got other players who are on that sign. And should you be interested to see what that is, you can make, you know, you could make an effort to go see that. And so if ownership wants those things on the sign, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, that it's equal fair housing and this the sign of accessibility. Those aren't sponsorship at all. That's just saying that they're accessible and that's fair lender and that kind of thing. And those don't bother me at all. When I see the rendering of it, I see the name of the place and the address. That's what I care about if I'm coming up to the place. And I see small items beneath it. the importance of those obviously doesn't matter, or they would be more prominent in the sign. And so it's addressing to me, and it doesn't take away from the purpose to the sign to my eye. I'm fine with it as submitted. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't see. I agree with Cecilia's point that maybe Housing Authority might want to be more prominent because of the magnificence of what they're doing here and the importance of that. But I don't know. I look at that entire bottom line as just subtext and not important to the purpose of the sign for which it's mounted on the corner so people can see the name and the address. So that's, you know, my personal take is, I mean, if you want to take these comments and redesign, great. If you don't, I can personally live with it as is. It doesn't bother me. Were you raising your hand? Oh. anybody else have any other comments?
Well, it's interesting, you know, Mary did indicate that.
I think you're.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Mary, would you read that sentence from the sign ordinance again, please? That standard.
It's under the category of legibility. The size, length, and proportion of the elements of the sign's message, including logos, letters, icons, and other graphic images, should be selected based on the average distance and average travel speed of the intended viewer.
Well, that's probably written for a commercial sign, I'm thinking, and this is somewhat different, but I think there, for me, there is some bearing to, I think, having you reconsider. If this is what you really want, then we can go with that, but maybe there is some, based upon our considerations, that there are different slight different arrangement might make the Housing Authority's name more prominent and the others less. I don't know, based upon just they're the sponsor here and they're the one that's done all the work. So that's what I'd like to see. Anyway.
Fair point.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Anybody have anything else? Do we feel like we're at a point for a motion or public comment, sorry.
I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I don't have any public speakers.
Okay, thank you. In terms of proceeding forward, someone want to make a motion, or do we think for either approval and or continuation if you're not comfortable with it?
If the applicant wouldn't mind coming back, perhaps with an alternative to based on our discussions. I don't know how you feel about that, but.
Certainly, I mean, I think that I can definitely collaborate with ownership further and.
And if they're adamant in stamping their feet and saying no, no way, heck, then that's one thing.
Right? No problem at all. Okay. I can certainly go back to them, and you know, obviously, the approval and support of the city has been tremendous in this project, and I know that they're very appreciative of that, and so we want to continue that. And so I guess then the question is this something that I could submit electronically, or would this be another like in person? And I can do either.
Where are you located?
I'm in San Luis.
San Luis. You could submit electronically and join from Zoom. Would that be okay?
We are making a requirement that one person from the team show up, so you could delegate someone, and we can still Zoom you in. Yeah, maybe somebody local.
Certainly, maybe we can get John to come by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you do that? That'd be great. That'd be great. Have John come by.
Okay. All right. So do you want to?
Okay. I'll make a motion to continue this to the meeting of
May 9th.
May 9th? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Can we get a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jim. Any discussion?
I would like the motion to include specific directions for continuance. Well, that the revised sign reevaluate the use of logos on the sign, either as to their elimination or increase their visibility in terms of size.
Thank you.
Maker of the motion okay with that? Okay, good. Any other discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Member Iman?
Yes.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Newman.
All right, we will see you in a couple weeks, or someone like you. Thank you very much. Okay, that takes us to our final calendar. Item C1, please.
Item C1, 5353 Overpass Road, APN 071-220-010, Santa Barbara Metropolitan Transit District Site Improvements and California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption, case numbers 22-0004-SCD/23-0001-DRB.
You got bumped from our last meeting. I'm sorry, but we're out of time. So. I'm just kidding.
Mr. Chairman.
Has everybody visited the site?
Point of order here. In going through these discussion points and descriptions, am I incorrect in assuming this, but it says that the DRB granted preliminary design approval on January 24th, 2022, under the project description, and then under the discussion, it says, since the DRB previously granted preliminary approval on January 24th, 2023, which is it?
2023, that was a typo, excuse me.
I'm assuming it's 2023.
It can only be one. Thank you.
So site visits?
Pardon?
Site visit, ex parte. Discussions?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have not revisited the site and no ex parte.
Not revisited the site, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I haven't revisited the site and no ex parte.
Very good. Travis, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. The project before you today is the Santa Barbara Metropolitan Transit District Site Improvements located at 5353 Overpass Road. They are proposing a variety of improvements that were approved or were granted preliminary design approval at the January 24th, 2023 meeting, which includes renovating the existing vehicle wash station, removing an existing equipment canopy, new above-ground diesel tanks, a new canopy for electrical equipment and bus fare vault, exterior repairs to the existing building, and notably removing the existing 6-foot tall perimeter fence and replacing it with an 8-foot tall security fence and driveway reconfigurations and new landscaping and exterior lighting. Can't forget that one. And as I previously said, your board granted preliminary design review approval on January 24th, and they are here for final review and approval. I will now turn over to the applicant and the board. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Turn the mic on and state your name for the record and proceed.
Well, good afternoon. David Rupinski with Santa Barbara Metropolitan Transit District. And I'm joined virtually by the design team members, Will Todd and Kim True. We wanted to, since we saw you last on January 24th, we've been busy. We took all of your comments and we incorporated them into a new set of plans. So, and we've got them here, but I wanted to let the team walk you through the changes as you requested them at the January 24th meeting. So with that, if I may, turn it over to the team, and then we'll answer any other questions you have about the project or anything we might have missed. So.
All right, very good.
I think we'll begin with the landscape portion, and okay. If Mrs. True, if you could... begin. And I'm going to unroll a set just in case you wanted to see a larger version.
Beautiful.
I got smaller ones too if anyone else needs.
Can we flip this around?
Is she? Yes, sir.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you. Hi, Kim.
Okay, hi. All right. I'll go through the comments that were made previously, which are the changes to the plan. First, the Euphorbia Sticks on Fire was replaced with the Leucodendron Safari Goldstrike, which is more of a yellow, the yellow coneflower. There's a picture of that on the planting plan. The spiky plants were requested to be removed. And so I replaced the Aloe marlothii with Aloe thraskii. So we retain that specimen design intent, but we don't have any sharp or spiky edges. And the Agave avatifolia was replaced with Agave weberi Arizona star, which is a smooth edge agave with no spikes. It's similar color to the agave stained glass, the octopus agave. So we create a repetition in color, but contrasting forms between the two varieties. I have added the existing trees in a light, they're now shown in a light green instead of the gray as a visual aid to assist the board in reading the plan. So just wanted to reiterate that the third oak is being added to the two existing oaks on the corner. I don't know if that was clear last time, because member Whalen had been asking for a feature on that corner. And so by adding just one oak to the two existing, we are creating that feature of the grove of oaks on the corner there. And then regarding the comment regarding the species of tree, the Australian willow, I did have a meeting with the city's consulting arborist, Greg Ainsworth, on March 2nd, and he agreed that the Australian willow is a good choice for a street tree for this application. He didn't have any concerns with the species or any concrete lift issues. We also discussed the root barrier. He's not familiar with nor has ever used a fabric barrier and was good with the city standard of a polypropylene linear panel. But what we did discuss was adding the Typar bio barrier. So we've updated the detail on the plan to have the Typar bio barrier fabric installed adjacent or in front of the polypropylene on the planter side, so that any new feeder roots that are growing towards it will be deterred. After time, the herbicide does dissipate in that fabric. Then we'll have that physical barrier back up there to prevent lifting of the sidewalk. So sort of a double approach. He thought it could be very effective. So that's how we kind of proposed to address that comment. And then finally, we added another species of vine, the Lonicera hildebrandiana, or the giant Burmese honeysuckle. And I sort of tightened up the spacing of the vines. So we do have more vines and now two different species sort of grouped going around the property to help with, the fencing and the landscape design there. And those were the comments from the last meeting and how we addressed them for the landscape portion. And I believe we have Will Todd will cover the fencing.
Sure. Do we want to go over the responses to the landscape changes first before we get into the fencing?
Yes, please. I will defer to our landscape professionals. Martha, start with you.
Yeah, I think the plant palette looks real nice. Mm-hmm. I don't have any objection to that. I think maybe my comments about the root barrier might have been slightly misinterpreted, but it sounds like a very good program you have in place. And I would like to see on the plans when they're submitted for final or building department or something like that, a note about trees that are lost during construction to be replaced with 15-gallon or a size that's acceptable to the city arborist, some sort of note like that. And I think your vine choices are very good. They'll provide good coverage on the fence. And all in all, I think it looks really good.
Okay. Great. Cecilia?
Yes. Kim, thank you for the change in landscaping. I think it's an improvement. I really like your choice of this agave star, this star, Arizona star agave. I'm lusting after that plant. Anyway, I have an I think I said last time, I have an Australian willow in my parkway, and it's a big, huge tree. And when the county, I think, put it in 20 years ago, there was a root barrier, but it sure lifted the sidewalk in front of my house. It's a nice tree, little care. City should really give it more care, but I'm just saying, I don't know about the root barrier and how it will perform with it, but that's my only comment. So thank you for the change. I think it's an improvement.
Can I add one thing?
Yes, go ahead, Martha.
I've been finding with the Gaijera, the willow, Australian willows, that they've been coming in from the nursery pretty low branching, so I think you'd probably want to lift those when they're young, just put in after about 90 days or more.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to the fencing comments.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Thank you, guys. The comments we received from the board were primarily about looking at more screening, and so we've looked at a couple different design options with the MTD staff. In general, we've really stuck with the same manufacturer. We've simplified the fence to remove the kind of decorative finials and column caps and all that to kind of modernize the appearance, the overall appearance of the fence. Dave is lucky enough here to have a sample for you guys to look at, albeit a little bit heavy. And then there's a sample there that Dave has as well of the perforated material that will go on the back of the fence. That material will be powder coated, of course, with the fence to match. And that's does kind of double duty. It's obviously screening the yard behind the fence, and it also gives something for the plants to kind of grab onto, obviously, so that they don't just go straight up to the top rail and spread out. So it gives a little bit more of a substrate to that. The intent there with the screening is not to completely block the view of the bus yard. Obviously, we want to see some transparency there for security reasons. We want to have that visibility through the fence, but make it not climbable and have a nice secure perimeter around the entire property. So that's essentially our design intent. We'll certainly remove the packaging when it gets installed on the yard, so that it's a little bit nicer.
Very good.
See the top?
Oh.
And the sample that we have here, of course, is the manufacturer's just off-the-shelf sample that they gave us. Our fence would have the slightly raised pickets. Yeah, more like that.
With no finials, just a cap?
Correct. Yep, just a flat cap to the top.
Cool. Okay. All right. And I think that was it for the fence comments, right? Okay. Well, very good. Dennis, you want to start on the fence comments? And you can feel free to comment on the landscaping, too, if you'd like.
Well, more accurately, these are just the gates. The fencing in general is something different, is it not?
It's all the same.
Yeah. It's all the same. Yep. Thank you for that clarification. That's all I have.
Okay.
Seems very adequate, if not even a bit elegant.
Very good. Jim?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay. Jonathan?
I like the look of the fence. I think it will be very effective and both look good, but provide some appropriate security and good screening without being intimidating.
Okay.
And I love the landscaping adjustments.
Martha?
I think the fence looks really good. It looks robust, and I think that perforated metal gives just the right balance of see-through and security. So did you say it was powder coat satin black?
You said it will satin be, black. Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, looks great.
Okay, Cecilia?
Ditto. It looks very nice. Fence and landscaping.
I concur. I agree with my colleagues. I have no comments. So we're here for final. Do we have any public speakers online and or in person? I don't think.
Wait, Mr. Chair, if I may, yeah. There's a lighting plan that we haven't. We have to give final approval to it.
Got it. Let's see it.
So yeah.
Yeah, I believe the issue last time was primarily legibility in the photometric as well. So we do have half-size plans there for you guys to look at if you want to sort of look at that. The photometric does show that we have 0-foot candles at the property line all the way around. And then there's the last sheet.
But I can't get it on my iPad.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
the last sheet in the set there too has the cut sheets of the fixtures themselves. Right.
Yeah. Start on page E101, Will.
Back up. I think it was 201.
I want to make sure I open it up to the right spot. I see a cut sheet on.
I'm sorry, E101. 203 is the photometric.
Okay.
So
203.
Just for the visual. Right. Saw it. It's better.
Yeah, mine's got another loading.
I could see it. Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, I looked at it and I saw it.
That's impressive.
Zero's all about.
Yeah, it's nice.
Even though the fencing will have some transmission.
And that does include the lighting underneath the canopies themselves. I think that wasn't quite clearly shown either.
Right.
So that's all the exterior lighting that would be on the property.
Yeah, that was what I looked at online. So.
And I don't believe there was any comments on the fixtures themselves, but those are on the last page of that set as well. Very simple commercial grade fixtures.
Right.
I have some questions on that.
Now mine we go.
Can you switch the screen to the fixture? Yeah, there you go. Those are the ones that we saw before. Right. Yep. While they're setting that up, Cecilia, I saw you had a question.
Yeah, I have several questions. Thank you for the lighting plan was much better. I could read it all on my computer, so that was helpful. I do have questions about the timing controls. I was reading on two different sheets, and I'm not quite sure I understand how the controls are going to be used. It says illumination levels at night are 20% or more below daylight. What is the plan for dimming the lights at night, or if they will not be dimmed, or whatever. Can you explain that to me?
I believe it's essentially the code minimum requirement there that the lights are dimmed when there's no occupancy on the site, essentially no okay. You know, motion detectors.
Okay. And
the lights will remain on 24/7 for okay. security. Well, not 24/7, but at night anyways.
So, yeah. So just how much are they dimmed? Do you know?
I believe that was on the fixture schedule.
Well, I had on 101, but I read it in two different places, and I see that there are shut off and motion sensors, but I just wondered what the plans were here. The illumination of the whole site will be dimmed at night. Okay, after everybody's
correct.
Gone. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
And then the other thing is, I wanted to say thank you for using the 3,000 Kelvin lights. That's good. That's what I think we want for thank you. And the other thing is on the cut sheet, the luminaire in the upper left-hand corner, that's where are those particularly going to be used? That's not a parking lot light. Are they at the edge of the?
The pole fixtures are,
yes.
are there's, I believe, three or four fixtures total,
right.
The pole lights, those are, it's a little hard to see the tag on the photometric, of course, with the S1 fixtures, perhaps the other sheet, the S or E201 or E, E201 might be easier to read, or excuse me, E202. There's two in the southern corners, and then there's one kind of right by the entry of the building by the accessible parking stall, and then one on the kind of northeast corner.
Okay, and how tall are those?
The size of 12 feet.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure because there was I didn't see any notation to know how tall they were and when there are limitations. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a nice lighting plan and it's cool. I like it. Thank you. That's
all I have in great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Did we have any speakers online? I didn't remember the answer to that.
If there are any speakers on the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. I don't see any hands raised.
Okay. Well, with that, someone want to make a motion on this? This is for final.
Yes, I can make a motion to approve the project as proposed. Are there any findings I need to bring? Well, then that'll be the motion.
For final approval.
For final approval for as it proposed.
Can I get a second?
I'd second it.
Seconded by Jonathan. Any discussion?
Just want to thank them for a very nice project. Lots of nice components to it. Will be a great improvement from what exists. Will enhance the entire area. May have to go buy one of those agave stars. Anyway, okay, thank you. No, but it's really nice, and I think you have a project to be proud of here.
We're really excited.
Are you good?
And grateful for your time this afternoon.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, well then with that, we'll take a roll call for a vote.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Member Iman?
Yes.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. All right, thank you very much, and thank you for your patience, especially after last meeting. So,
thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Will.
Okay. With that, we are at item D, announcements by staff and or members. Anybody have anything?
I have something.
Yep.
Yesterday, before the Planning Commission, staff sent some Title 17 amendments to them for review and recommendation for the City Council. One of the items was on that was before them was about story polls. And I know that I think Chair Branch, you saw the story poll project for the Humane Society, as did I, and I know the applicant had some concerns about story polls, and I've addressed, and other applicants in the past have had concerns about story polls and the requirement for maintaining them throughout the long discretionary review period. So anyway, to my point is that I would have hoped that the DRB could have seen what the city was proposing. We didn't have a chance to take a look at that, to look at the proposal. There are members on the board who are familiar with story polls, who've used story polls in their work, and I think it would have been benefited by having their done review and providing their input. Because what ultimately was decided was that there will be, as there is now, story polls erected before the first design review board
before
meeting. Before conceptual.
That's insane.
Well, they'll okay. Let me just.
Sorry.
No, this is why.
Soapbox moment.
No, and that they'll be throughout the design review process, and then it's up to the applicant whether or not they want to maintain them throughout the process until it goes to other decision makers, but they can take them down. Well, having spent some life as a planning commissioner in another jurisdiction, I've never seen such an arrangement. Usually story polls are there for the design review piece. And my recommendation also was that they need to take photos of story polls so that there is memorialization of what they projected. Anyway, it's the Planning Commission approved what staff sent to them, and it will now be going on to City Council. But so I just wanted to alert the professional members that if you had any thoughts about story poles and they're being maintained for long periods of time and needed to be up through the long, you know, it could be 6 months, could be a long time. Because I think the process goes through the appeal period, right, Mary? I think that's what it is, that the story poles would have to be maintained through the appeal period.
Correct. That's correct. From the entitlement, whether that
right
goes
from
to
the right. So
that's such a public hazard.
So that
that's
could be
dangerous.
That could be 8 or 9. That could be a very long time. Anyway,
and depending on the size of the project, you've got enormous story poles, and they're right. there to communicate right. a size, bulk, and scale
right.
issue. And so
right.
they only need to be there for a short time. And to have them at conceptual is ludicrous. That's
well,
not when you need them there.
What you need to know that in the city's ordinance, the story poles are under noticing. And the city has felt that. Before the new zoning ordinance, the city had no standards regarding story poles. And so through the zoning ordinance process, they wrote some up, but they put it under noticing. And the Planning Commission considers them as, and they are, they're very adequate noticing because they are very noticeable and people look at them and they see them and it alerts them to the project. But you're right, for our purview, it's about noticing, but it's also about size, bulk, and scale.
Right,
and
but from the what you normally have as a project from conceptual to preliminary can change
drastically.
So
right.
why would you not have the story poles at preliminary, before preliminary approval?
Well, this is why I think it would have been important for that to have come to this body. And I just make my plea to staff that once you're in your group meetings with long-range planning, that you let them know our preference, that we need to see things that deal with us, too. And there may be some other on the way. Ms. Wells this morning said that they were going to be working on the lighting ordinance, and I think that we absolutely need to see whatever their proposals are. I hope to work with them as well. But anyway, so I just pass that on to you as my thoughts about being left out.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other announcements, comments, amusing anecdotes?
In that regard, I would just be concerned. The likelihood of not having one or more Santa Ana events with story poles erected, and the chair's comments about the hazard to the public, I think is something that we should perhaps think through.
Certainly. Okay.
At the last meeting, I asked staff if they couldn't investigate the painting of a historic building in Old Town. I'm wondering if there was any follow-up on that.
I was not staffing that meeting, so... What,
oh, that's right.
That's right. You weren't here. This is the originally it was the Bank of America building. It's gone through 3 or 4 restaurants. It's now painted day glow orange with some horizontal corrugated metal, looked like railing on it. If you understand the building I'm talking about,
the old natural cafe.
Yes, and we'll investigate that. They may need to come before you.
Thank you. And perhaps bring it to the attention of the newly formed Historic Resources Committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
With that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.